The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the Monday Morning Recap, everybody. Brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Tonight's the night, Bob. Zach Edey gets his ring, dude.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking
yeah.
not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't for so many fucking reasons. And number one is because we're gonna get into a little bit. I know Dan wants to get into telling women's basketball fans to calm the fuck down.
We can.
Before we do that, though, Purdue fans need to calm the fuck down. Because if you look on Twitter or Reddit or anything like that at all, one thing they keep saying is that Edie is like a top three or five or maybe the most dominant college basketball player of all time.
Sure. Of all time.
Of all time.
All time.
And that he is like, everyone should be appreciating this greatness.
It's very true.
And Dan, you want to chime in?
Yeah, it's very true.
It's fucking disgusting. Are you kidding me? It's a fucking abomination.
It's horrible. And
this is not fucking basketball. This is just dump it down to a big man and get fouled and win by free throw. Is that how you want to win a basketball game?
I mean,
Purdue?
The word saying most dominant top five of all time is retarded.
Is it?
Right. Shaq. James Worthy.
Shaq didn't play long enough.
Pistol, he played 2-3 years. Pistol Pete Maravich, right?
Yeah.
He scored 45 points a game.
I'm going to give you another one who did. I don't care if he doesn't have as many Naismiths or whatever. Uh-huh. He was way better. His team performed better. I'll take him every day in college over Zach Edey. The most dominant player I've ever watched in college was basically the chippy of college basketball, which is Tyler Hansborough. Mm.
Okay.
Tyler Hansborough was a fucking animal.
Excellent player. Excellent player. However, he did not win back-to-back national players of the year.
I don't give a shit. He made Final Fours. He won a championship.
Who is in the Final Four right now? Who's in the championship?
Hey, Hansborough made multiple Final Fours, multiple conference titles. I don't give a fuck about what Zach Edey's doing. Like he said, Zach Edey's an abomination. This is like a dude. It's like everyone's complaint about baseball, right? Where it's like they only walk or strike out or hit a home run. That's Zach Edey. It's the worst three true outcomes of all time. Like boring layup, free throws, or nothing.
I think you hate dominance, Bob, and you don't like to see it. This is everything you wanted Chet Holmgren to be in college, and he is now. Two back-to-back players there. He's actually playing for the national championship tonight. What more can one man do?
I mean, we'll see, right? They're probably going to lose by 15 to 20 points tonight, right? Like the gap between UConn men's and Purdue is quite a bit larger than the gap between South Carolina and anybody in a women's game.
Also, freshman year, Zach Edey fucking came off the bench. He didn't even start.
He's got to grow into that body. It's tough when you're 7'4".
Chet didn't
played
need to
one
grow
year.
Him.
What's that?
Chet played 1 year.
Yeah, he still hasn't put on any weight.
On 15 pounds.
He's too busy being in the NBA.
Nothing you can do there.
Yeah,
Zach Edey came back.
I mean, to be fair to Edey, despite being a fucking monster, not in a good way, right? shoots free throws well. Shoots 72%.
Yeah,
yeah. Credit there for sure.
So I mean, if your game is to be a big body and get down low and take contact and either lay the ball up or shoot free throws, that's kind of the game. Right,
he could have gone pro last year, but he's Asian and he wants to graduate. Like we all understand that
he's Canadian,
he's Asian too.
Yeah, he's half Chinese.
Yeah, he's half Chinese.
Yeah, but do you know he doesn't get paid NIL because he is Canadian?
Great question.
No, he doesn't.
No, he can't.
Yeah, I was gonna say
he doesn't get any NIL money.
Yeah,
it's only for Americans.
Mm. Looking at the spread right here on mybookie.com tonight, so we'll go around the horn here. It is the national championship. UConn -6.5. We'll start with you, D'Anthony. Who you got?
Well, first of all, I'm probably going to find an alt line for something over 12.
Okay.
That's probably what I'll bet.
And my bookie has that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what I have.
Okay.
UConn, I think it's probably going to be somewhere between 15 and 20 point victory.
Okay.
But you never know, right? Sometimes they empty the bench and whatever the fuck. But I think if it's that close, then they'll have to keep their players out there. If it's like within 10 or so,
right?
I think they'll have to keep them out there. UConn is the best coached team in all of basketball, maybe pro and college.
Right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're not going to fault, like, and to be fair, the South Carolina women's coach has said some dumb shit last week about tranny bullshit or whatever the fuck, but she's the best coach in women's basketball right now. It's not even close. She lost her entire starting five plus her six man and came back and went undefeated and won the title.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
With some it's like a new world transfer portal shit or whatever, but she's the best coach in all in
Philly's
women's
own.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think UConn's the best coach team. And you saw what they did to Caitlin Clark yesterday. They changed up the defense on her a little bit and it fucked her game up big time, right? That's what's going to happen tonight. I don't know what they have planned for Edie, but they've got something planned, and I guarantee you they're going to execute on it.
Yeah, his name is Donovan Klingon.
Yes, and he will be guarding Edie tonight. Delco, who do you got tonight?
How's he going to do it without fouling him?
He's
on
like
every play?
The same size, and they're actually athletic.
I know, but
yeah,
like Edie gets all the fucking calls, man.
Yeah, he's athletic.
I know. Who do you got tonight, Delco?
Oh, UConn big. Are you kidding me?
Big, yeah. Bob?
They win every game by double digits for the last, like, 2 years in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gift. 6.5?
I agree, man. I'm looking at this 6.5 right now, and I'm with you. I think I'm going to take an alt line up to 10.
I'm trying to find
one
right now.
You'll get plus money on that.
Yeah, probably. It'll probably be plus 185, yeah. Something like that.
Easily.
I'm looking. Hang on.
And this is just out of pure dominance. It's top to bottom. So before this started, I said, look, this is a team that's 10 deep. You can just sub out five and in five, and it doesn't fucking matter. They can turn it on in the second half. And even on an off night, which they had against Alabama, they just turned it on the last 10 minutes of the game and mopped the floor.
Well, you know
them.
What, though? We said Alabama was going to have to shoot out of their minds from
and they
three.
Were for a little bit.
They were at 47% at one point. And so, like, they did what they had to do, and
sure
UConn
did.
Still just brushed
still
away.
Covered. Still
no,
covered.
Still
double
covered.
Digits.
Yeah. Still covered double digits.
UConn not.
This team is insane.
UConn minus 9.5 is plus 130. I don't know if that's enough.
Plus 130 is going to get you some decent money. How high up do the alt lines go in my bookie?
Plus 17 or minus 17.5. And that's. Plus
Sprinkle.
375.
Sprinkle.
So there's a minus 12.5 at plus 195. That's the one I'm going to take.
Minus 12.5 at plus 190. Okay, 2 to 1, essentially.
Yep.
Yeah, I might take that too. I've just never seen a team this dominant where it's an actual team with a bench and everything else. No superstars. It doesn't really matter who's scoring, when, why. Their passing is incredible. This is just absolute fucking dominance.
Well, that's
here.
The difference between UConn and everybody else is they can run double teams and try to strip the ball on the collect for Edie every single time and get fouls. Maybe he goes the line and hits some shots, but they can harass him all night long without running out of players. Nobody else can do that.
And by the way, I noticed this during the game. Like, look, Edie did not have a bad game against NC State, 20 and 12, right, with two blocks or whatever.
But it
that
was
still his worst game of the tournament, and that was a team with size, and I thought they played defense on him fairly well in terms of when he got the ball down low. You saw it almost every time an NC State guard came in and harassed him just enough to fuck up his dribble a little bit.
And that big kid from NC State, the offensive
Modiara, DJ Burns.
DJ Burns, yeah. He had a body on him. Like his chest and he was his chest was on him every time he caught the ball.
Yeah.
But, but the difference with Burns and Klingon is Klingon's over 7 feet.
He's so actually like he's actually a good basketball player too. Not no offense to the other dude. He's big as shit and he's athletic as shit too. But this Klingon can actually
in
play
a Lizzo
basketball.
Type way. Yeah. This guy is an actual big body who can play, who can move. And I don't know what Purdue's going to do.
Well,
like, it's just a
well,
bad
I mean, what
matchup
they what
too.
They need to do is this is if I'm because I'm anticipating UConn being the best team, right?
Yeah,
being the best coach team and the deepest. If I'm Purdue, I'm running my guards at Klingon trying to get him in foul trouble early. That's your best bet, right?
Yes, you got to get him out.
Yeah.
I mean, but even like look, Edie even had 5 turnovers against NC State too. Like the whole time I was watching that game, I was like, this doesn't look great, but they are showing how to defend Edie, and now you take that sort of blueprint with a higher level of player across the roster.
More and more of them as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because then even if Klingon gets into foul trouble, they got 3 other guys they can just keep putting in who are great players. So I don't see how Purdue gets anywhere close tonight. I mean, they did what they could. You're just up against one of the greatest college basketball teams of all time. Who were their three losses now for UConn? Because when you look back at this, you're
two
like...
Two of them made sense, and one of them was a dumb game. I don't know if they just, like, pull... Hold on, let me fucking pull up their schedule right quick.
It's hard.
They lost at Kansas.
All right.
They lost at Seton Hall, which that's the dumb one, I think.
That's Seton Hall just still, won the NIT. They're pretty fucking good.
It's still on the road. Then they lost at Creighton.
So, at Creighton's an understandable loss.
Yeah, two of the games, or all three of them on the road, two of them against fucking
ranked
Sweet
teams.
16 teams, yeah. I believe. So.
And then conference game. They also beat Seton Hall at home by 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they avenged that Creighton loss too, didn't they? Yeah, they beat Creighton by fucking 15 at home.
I mean, the Big East is a grind. It's a real. It is a power, like football's power five, really power four now. But basketball is power six.
Yeah,
and the Big East is one of the power conferences, and that might be the second best conference, maybe the best conference in college basketball. It's a fucking grind.
I mean, UConn, Marquette, Creighton, Seton Hall, St. John's. Those are all good teams.
I think the biggest shocker to me out of this team and why nobody really cares about tonight's game and is, you know, your leading scorer is 14.9 a game.
It's a faceless machine.
Tristan Newton is his name. I did not know. I don't know any of these players.
This is the middle 2000s Patriots.
Yeah.
The only star on it was Brady.
It's the coach.
But the only star here is the coach, right? Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Like, and even as a coach, he's not that... Like, he's fun, but he's not, like, amazing. You know what I mean? He's not a superstar coach.
He's not a superstar personality.
Yes, yeah. He is a superstar coach.
On the floor, he's a fucking superstar.
Yeah, 100%.
Which will segue into the biggest superstar coach, personality-wise, left last night, which is a huge shock to me.
But
could not believe that.
He's a fake superstar, though, right?
No.
He's got a championship, he's going to bring in top talent overnight.
One title in 15 years, yep. Which, whatever, basketball is competitive, I get it, but the great coaches win more than that.
He's a bad coach. He's got
the most tournament wins ever and only one title, right? He's got, 54 tournament wins
title. But he's got, like, five or six Final Fours, something like that.
It doesn't matter. He overthinks himself. He literally sat fucking Devin Booker. Devin Booker was coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I
think at Kentucky he had three Final Fours.
Yeah,
and
he had one
in
with 15 Memphis.
Years, which is pretty good, right?
And one national championship.
One title. I mean, that's look, it's competitive and shit. I think he's...
him at your school.
He's going into a good but not great situation. The good part is if you win 20 games a year at Arkansas, everybody's happy, right?
I don't think so anymore.
They're delusional fans as well.
Yes.
Right? They expect more out of that.
Basketball and football, Arkansas fans are always, always delusional. Ever since they won that basketball championship, what was it, the 90s? Was it Nolan Richardson?
94.
Yes. 94, maybe.
40 minutes of hell.
Yeah. And so, look, overnight, though, this guy's going to bring in superstars to the program. People are going to give a shit about Arkansas. To me, this $8 million a year that he got paid over the next, you know, he's getting $8 million for the next 5 years. Is worth it. I mean, it's going to put asses in the seats. People will care about Arkansas again.
But is he going to focus on transfer portals, or is he going to do the same shit he did at Kentucky, which is get dudes for 1 year before they go to the NBA?
I think he needs... Oh, well, actually, someone was telling me last night he was going to be more team-based, but still try to get a one or two five-stars in there to, you know...
Because he fucking pivoted too hard last time, where he was only getting, like, transfer portal guys that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And he was relying too heavily. So this year was kind of like him getting back to his roots of, all right, Reed Shepard, all these, like, lottery picks. We're going to run it with a super young team. They were really good. They just, you know, Calipari's a bad coach.
I don't think three Final Fours in a national championship is a bad coach.
He has a ton of talent. He's not a good coach.
Look, I would take him. I would take him at my school. Would you take him at Missouri?
In a heartbeat.
Same.
In a heartbeat. And well, here's the thing with Arkansas too. You got to think about with these middle class schools and programs, of which I am a fan. It's a great investment for the school too, because the basketball team immediately becomes nationally relevant. You're going to get more applicants. You're going to get more people interested in both programs, and well, all three, because they're a baseball school too.
Yeah.
And that's going to be more money coming into the NIL fund. Enthusiasm is the number one thing you need after actual wins.
Correct.
Well, maybe Bronny James will come there. That'll solve all their problems. I mean, like, for real, it would solve a lot of problems, because just having LeBron around a little bit.
That's a huge
gets
recruiting.
People to show
it's a huge
up.
Recruiting tool.
You get to meet LeBron?
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
kids
like,
will do it.
The other, not to segue out of this, because we'll keep talking about college, but there is a lot of rumor mill shit going on about a fucking college trying to get Bronny to come there for that reason, but also maybe NBA teams involved in that as well, right? Where if you bring your kid next to my NBA team, then maybe he can play for us, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think LeBron's going to play like 3 more years, to be honest. I don't think he's quitting.
I don't know that he's going ever anywhere. Going to stop at this point.
He's like still a top five player in the NBA right now. Why would he stop?
There's no reason to.
Especially if you really want
to
play with
a kid. Put
all
those records out of reach. They're
already out of reach, I think.
Scoring is.
Unless there's a 4-point shot at some point. And
well, but I wouldn't rule it out for the NBA.
Yeah. But still, NBA. Like I don't know. But there's no way Purdue is winning this game.
Right? No. I think it's double digits. That's where I'm going to put my money and actually jack this spread up on my bookie.
So,
promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit if you want to get in on this.
So that begs a question. We kind of talked about this last year when UConn won. That puts UConn at 6 national championships,
mm-hmm.
all not just in the modern era, but like the extreme modern era.
Oh, yeah.
99 and on.
Yep.
6 national championships. They'll pass Kansas, and they'll be right on the ass, I think, of North Carolina and Duke.
They are the Alabama of basketball. Right?
Are they, at that point, you have to ask, like, are they the best basketball program going right now?
The premium program, yes. And I think, you know, name alone, Duke and North Carolina will hang on for...
Kansas, too, I think.
Kansas, too, those three for a while. But at what point are you looking at this domination, especially if they win it again tonight? At what point do you say this is the greatest college basketball program outside of UCLA and those old Kentucky teams?
Right, because it's not like it's a fucking Florida situation where Billy Donovan comes in, wins his 2 titles, leaves. UConn's won with 3 coaches.
Different coaches.
Including Kevin Ollie, who's one of the worst college basketball minds of all time.
And have you guys been there by any chance to UConn, the campus or anything?
No.
It's not like this crazy place where you walk in, you're like, oh, shit, man, I'm going to fucking rage here.
Okay, so here...
It's in Connecticut.
They've won 5 titles since 99 with 3 different coaches.
It's insane, man.
Nobody else has done that.
So, by the way, here is what will happen if they win tonight. They will pass... Oh, I'm sorry, they have passed Kansas. I think Kansas has 4, but they claim a 5th from like the 20s. Fuck out of here. So they've passed Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
If they win tonight, they will pass Indiana and Duke, and they will tie North Carolina.
Wow.
They will only be behind Kentucky, who has 8, half of which I assume happened without black guys, and UCLA has 11.
That's true, because that was when Rupp was there, and so yeah, it was. And that era also in the 60s with the NBA too, or you go back to those UCLA teams that won 10 in a row where you were just like, all right,
right.
Cool, man. You had Lou Alcindor, and you know.
Yeah, I know the Celtics, and to some extent, the Lakers claim anything to me in the NBA pre-merger. Get the fuck out of here. The same with anything.
Yeah, because half of those, especially the ABA stuff.
Yep.
Because half it was like seriously half garbage men.
Yeah.
And then actual players.
Yep.
Maybe like 3 or 4 players on each team that could actually play basketball. And UConn is definitely going to win this game, right?
I think so.
But even for next year, there are only 4 seniors on their whole roster, and only 2 of them are starters. 2 of the seniors, one of them is like 8th in the rotation, and one of them doesn't play at all.
And
they do have a high draft pick, I think, who's an underclassman, but I could be
maybe.
Right, but that's
just
one.
I'm just saying.
One out of your 10 guys, this stretch can continue.
They're going to lose 3 starters, right? But only 2 of them are upperclassmen.
Right. So I mean, like, this dominance can continue for a while, but I think if they win tonight, Bob, back to your points, this is the greatest team in the modern era, and there's nothing UConn is.
Yeah.
The greatest college basketball school in the modern era, and there's no argument about it.
Well, there haven't been that many teams in the 21st century to win multiple titles, right?
Like, there hasn't been many conferences. I don't think the Big Ten has won in like 20 years.
Duke has won 2.
Kansas has won 2.
Florida won 2, but only with Billy Donovan, and they haven't been relevant since.
Yep.
Right.
Well, no, they've actually had a couple Final Fours since then. It's pretty crazy. But that was still under Donovan.
Yeah. North Carolina's won 3 since 2000.
Yeah, 05, and then one with Hansborough, and then
05, 09, and
Beacon
then
Zaga.
17.
Yeah.
So and then Villanova's won 2 as well. And that's,
oh, yeah.
But their guy's gone now.
Yeah, Jay Wright is gone.
So this makes them the worst case scenario is they're tied with North Carolina for the best team of the 21st century after tonight. Right?
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens next year because you never know. I mean, I don't know when the last time somebody won 3 in a row was.
UCLA, I would imagine.
Like on Wooden?
Yeah.
Like in the fucking 60s?
In the 60s.
With Kareem and Walton.
With Kareem and Walton. I mean, it was a nuts.
They were loaded.
70s.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, good luck any team in any era beating Kareem and Walton in college. Like,
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you could put that in the last 100 years, and it's not going
to
matter.
They won 7 in a row.
Right.
From 67 to 73, and then they won in 75 as well. So 8 out of 9.
People forget how good Bill Walton was. If he doesn't have those knee injuries, he
Jokic.
Probably becomes, one of the greatest NBA players of all time as well.
Oh, they also won 64 and 65. So 1, 2, 3, 9, 12.
Civil rights, though, was in 64.
11, so. Or 10 out of 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think UConn basketball is probably the best modern basketball program and probably second only to Alabama football for best modern college sports program.
Yeah. But Saban's gone.
Right.
If he stays, he could get more titles.
And here's the thing, though. Alabama only did that under Saban. Mm-hmm. And like we keep saying, UConn is doing it under coach after coach. It's crazy.
And when people bring up that SEC bullshit, I was like, let's take Saban out of it and give me the SEC bullshit. Saban won 6.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
6.
This will be Connecticut's 5th.
In the 21st century.
Yeah.
They got 1 in 99.
Yeah, I wasn't counting. 99, let's not count that one.
Luff Balloons.
One. Jim Calhoun, Kevin Ollie, and Dan Hurley.
Can you believe fucking Kevin Ollie has a title? I mean, that's nuts.
Well, it sounds like the recipe for success is just to go be the coach at UConn. And wait a couple years because they've won under every coach they've had since the fucking 90s.
It's just so
seriously, can anybody say that in any sport?
No, but here's why it's puzzling to me because I've gone to almost all of these colleges. Take Kentucky. You go there. You go to a basketball game there. You're fucking amped. You understand why.
Yeah.
Right. There's nothing impressive about UConn college itself. You're like, man, I want to go there. And this team, there is no superstar. So it's not like Michael Jordan's coming back. LeBron's coming back to his old college.
Right.
Who are the old superstars that are coming back?
Rip Hamilton?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally, Rip Hamilton might be their best NBA player.
Yeah.
And they always bring up... Or Kemba. But Rip, I think, probably is better. But I don't know.
Same hair.
Yeah.
But, like, those are your two superstars? We're like, all
right. Ray Allen.
Oh, yeah.
It was UConn.
But Ray Allen was in the 80s, right?
No. He was right before they won. He was, like, 96, 95.
Yeah. Emeka Okafor. Kind of a bust in the NBA, right?
Yes.
Kemba Walker, the first half of his career was really good.
Yeah.
Rudy Gay had a pretty good career. Has, I think he's still playing.
Homosexual,
right?
Please.
Yeah,
we don't do that on the show.
That's it.
And by the way, UConn, do they even have t-shirt fans?
Ooh, Scott Burrell.
No.
Scott Burrell,
no, they do not.
Who fucking Jordan ruined in, what, two a season and a half?
Yeah.
He just ruined Burrell's entire life.
Yep.
But, like, that's a huge thing with most successful college sports, whether it's football or basketball. Like, for example, let's talk basketball for a second. North Carolina, Duke to a lesser extent, and Kansas, they all have an army of t-shirt fans.
Yep.
And in football, Ohio State, Bama, everything. Mm-hmm. Because, look, the university and the students and the alums are all great and everything, but to fill asses, like to put that many people in seats, to have that much traveling to bowl games and NCAA tournament games, mm-hmm. you need t-shirt fans. You need non-affiliate, got people who are just like, hell yeah, that's my school.
We should become t-shirt fans of UConn's football program. It's like, whose jersey is that? Oh, this is UConn.
This is UConn.
We're D3 now.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck.
But and you know how it happens. You take the Braves and the Cubs. We discussed this a few weeks ago with TBS and WGN, you got all these people from all over the nation watching them just because they were on every day. Growing up as a kid in Georgia, it was Duke or UNC, and we were t-shirt fans as kids. I chose UNC because it was a blast to watch, but I didn't give a shit about University of Georgia or any of those teams in my area, Alabama, Tennessee, none of that shit. Like, it helps, man. Like, all that shit really helps. You just don't see it for UConn, though. It's just wild.
It's just like this competent, quiet program that just fucking wins constantly. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Joel's popping back in there. While you're there, you can keep the single on me. I'll do the ads real quick. Joel's getting all eclipsed out. We're about to eclipse after this fucking show today. Joel, I'm going to eclipse so fucking hard for you, dude. All over your face and chest that I can't wait, dude, after the show's over. But it's brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Tons to bet on this week. Tonight's national championship. Smash that UConn minus 6.5. Don't give a fuck what that spread is. You're all good there, in my opinion. The Masters is this week. We'll be down there. Let's start with you guys, too, on the Braves here. So let's say we go to Tuesday, Wednesday's game. Who do you got there?
It's the Mets, so the Braves in every game.
I'll post a...
Even though we're hurt? Because we're going to lose homeboy to Tommy John,
Strider,
probably?
Yeah, probably, yeah. But that's not... Like, who cares?
Next
to be
up.
Honest. We've got Hurston Waldrop and fucking Bryce Elder and A.J. Smith-Shawver and AAA. It's like, not that
we
big.
Have the okay. depth. This is exactly what we plan for.
So bet the Braves all week?
Mm. Changing your tune, huh?
I know, it's horrible. Like Spencer Strider's going to But, Cy I mean, Young. Last year, Fried was out most of the year. We won like 104 games or
yeah,
what?
And then we yeah. won with the best player in baseball. We won a World Series out. Yeah. Or out, we won a World Series. I'm
the
not
fall of Rome
about
here.
That.
Exactly.
It actually... This exactly, this is actually Rome, probably good for the Braves, to be honest, if I'm being honest, because they have had no struggle during the regular season for a while now, and they get into the postseason and it's like, oh.
And we won 2,000 games, and then you lose in the first round.
Yeah.
Real quick, for my bookie here, give us a Masters one that's not a favorite. I know we're going to do a Masters show. We're going to do a Masters show live from the actual Masters this week, so you'll see us there. But real quick, who's a guy that's on nobody's radar that you got?
It's a weird tournament.
Tiger Woods, man.
The Masters, the picks are going to be on people's radar, right? Like, it's the same guys that kind of show up year in and year out. I guess kind of an off the wall, maybe. I hear a lot of people throw his name out right now, but Sahith Theegala.
Okay.
He's a great course fit. Like, he has great court history. Or he just has the game for Augusta, him and Spieth.
Do they picks to make the cut?
Yes.
Because I would pick, I think you'd probably get plus money on Tiger for that. And he's probably going to do it because he'll break.
He's going for the record.
Yeah. It'll be 25 cuts for him or 25. I think that's probably a safe bet. Whatever pills he's got to take to make that work, he's probably going to do it.
I agree.
It's a limited field event, too, so he should be able to make the cut.
Yeah.
And Augusta's not super hilly and shit, right?
There's a lot of hills.
Yeah, there's a lot of hills.
it's the one, but he's rested up.
He's only played like two tournaments this year.
And he doesn't even fuck anymore.
No, he doesn't fuck.
That's what he said. Yeah.
He saving himself up.
That, by the way, is retarded.
Well.
That has nothing to do. Like, saving energy. You produce more testosterone after an orgasm.
That's not how, him,
that's
dude.
Every human being that exists.
The way he goes.
Don't you remember Bull Durham?
Yeah.
If you think it's helping you, it's helping.
He's
it's
also
helping
a Navy SEAL, so.
Yeah,
true. True. True.
Well, he's they don't not fuck. Mostly they fix their hair and jerk off in the mirror, I think. But either way, they're still coming.
Yeah, the other thing about going to the Masters, Delco, real quick, because it is going to be nice on Friday. So we will be there on Friday. Some listeners hit us up. We're going to go to Friday.
Find us if you're there.
If you're there,
you can't hit us up.
Well, there's no phones, there's no watches, iWatches, no nothing. So we'll just be walking around with everybody else. The good thing is it's not crowded. They don't let a lot of people in there. So we'll be there. But you will remember the winner the rest of your life. So last time I went.
Was it Patrick Reed?
God, it was Patrick Reed, dude. And it's just,
a terrible winner.
Terrible winner. I had a weird, great time. One of the greatest times of all time. But
because Spieth made a run too at the end, where he was almost going to steal it.
He did. But it was. It's a blast. Can't wait. I went with my dad last time. One of the best times of all time. Looking forward to it. So if you're there on Friday, we'll buy you a beer because they're $3, which is great about the Masters. Next up, sponsor wise, we got firstform.com/Stringer Bros. Boom! Just pulled the pouch out. We're going early today for the eclipse. Because we got a flight out of here tonight because everyone is flying out over the next 2 days. Everybody has flown into Austin to see the eclipse. We're heading out tonight.
I want to fly directly into the sun.
Ask the pilot.
Yeah. Like, I assume the moon will stop us.
Yes.
Right?
Or
the fact
that
it's a combustion engine, there's no oxygen in space.
Yeah, it might
that might stop us as well.
Might take
long before we.
But once you get momentum going, the problem is you have to be going 25,000 miles per hour, give or take, to escape Earth's atmosphere.
Yep.
Right? So I don't know if those planes even go that fast.
I don't think these Boeing planes can handle it.
Well, and another one just went down 2 days ago. Mm. And we're on that flight tonight, which is nice. It's Southwest.
What, 737 or 747?
Yeah. The engine came off, which was fun in Denver.
I meant to ask how company inheritance works if you guys all eat it.
Show goes on.
Actually, if we die, a hit team comes and murders everybody.
Because
we don't want there to be any trace of any of this stuff.
You know who would go to? I think, oh my God.
Goes to Joel.
Probably Jared.
It would go to Jared. Yeah. It would go to Jared and Jesse.
And Jared and I have an agreement. There's a will. where any assets he gets from me in the event of my death, he has to use it to throw a party. All of it. 100% of the money.
Yep.
So you can imagine what that would be like.
Right. So yeah, Jared and Jesse. Jared will be your new boss.
All of a sudden, Rob's like, doesn't sound so bad. No Dan, no Dan, no Rob.
I like you guys, but come what may.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah. But just in case, I do live here. I'm taking my micro factors. Best in the biz. Box sits next to my box, next to my desk, computer. There we go. Monday, 6 essentials in here. Antioxidants, CoQ10s, multivitamins, EFAs, fruits and veggies, and the probiotics. Got to get them in me. Let's face it, we're all not eating the way we want to, working out the way we want to every single day. However, it is important to get the essential vitamins in you. Head to firstform.com/drinkingbros today. Free shipping on orders over $75. And you like the new liver pills.
Yeah, it's liver detox. It's good. It's if you're a drinker, like some of us might be, I don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you're Bob, if you've got kids and you don't like your kids and you're trying to escape from reality every day when you get home, then take liver detox pills, right?
Took some this morning.
Yeah. It's like for real. All it does is help your liver process ethyl alcohol better.
Yeah.
So you don't get the negative effects. It's that simple.
I take it after most days I drink.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great. It's four pills. It's fewer pills than the microfactor.
Yeah, I just took the microfactor. Yeah,
so it's really good.
It's a good little combo. So like when you go to check out, here's the nice thing about it. When you go to check out, you're getting any order over $75, you're getting free shipping on it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add microfactors, I think you're just under 65, or they're right at 65. You add the liver detox pills, just those two items, you get free shipping.
Okay, great.
It's that simple.
Perfect. Last but not least, we got bioproteintech.com. Promo code Drinking Bros is going to get you $30 off your first order over there.
Now that shit is legit.
Yeah.
The only thing I've ever taken for sleep that actually worked.
Literally
the only thing I've ever taken that worked. That didn't make me feel hungover the next day and actually made me sleep.
Exactly. Look, guys, if you're over 30, you're going to want to hear this. Your hormones start to suck. So chances are, if you're listening to this, you might be one of the countless guys who's struggling to see the results in the gym, in the mirror, or even in the bedroom. Most guys are focused on testosterone. However, that's only 50% of the answer. Without adequate growth hormone and its end result growth factors, you can't even optimally absorb the testosterone you have, no matter if it's synthetic or natural. That's where BioPro Plus comes in. BioPro Plus gives you all the shit you need without any of the needles, side effects, or doctor's visits. Works super fast. A lot of people see results in days instead of months. Been trusted by physicians since 2009. Danthony and I have been taking it for the last 6 months. Great for your skin as well. Comes in a little vial. Boom, you pop it underneath your tongue. You go night-night, and you'll see the results pretty fucking quick. Head on over to bioproteintech.com to learn more, or click the link in the audio description or on the YouTube page. Make sure to use the promo code DRINKINBROS for $30 off over there. Switch on over to women's college basketball. Did you guys watch the championship yesterday?
No.
You did not? You?
I did.
I did too.
I did.
I watched it on my app just to see what the score was going to be.
Okay.
Right. And I think I may have caught a couple of minutes in a bar somewhere, but not like I didn't sit down to watch it intentionally or anything. Because who fucking cares, right?
Well, Caitlin Clark is as good as advertised. She broke the record for first half scoring there and then tailed off at the end. It's hard to do it on your own. My note with Caitlin Clark is the same thing as last year. There just isn't anybody on the team. Like, South Carolina has a full team.
Right.
And when you have a girl who's 6 foot fucking 10, it's unstoppable. There's nothing you can do.
I said this before on the show that Brittany Griner was the same height, and someone said that'd be the equivalent in the men's game of being like 7'6". So being like taller than Zach Edey.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The real story of this game, though, is that South Carolina's bench outscored Iowa's bench 37-0.
Yeah.
Yep.
0 points from the Iowa bench.
South Carolina's undefeated. Great team.
Great team all the way around.
All these like former UConn players that are dunking on Caitlin Clark. I've actually bounced back. I now like Caitlin Clark because so many of these girls hate her now.
Oh,
why are they dunking Hunter?
Just out of curiosity. Why do old NBA dudes dunk on current NBA dudes?
Yeah, that's how you know you're getting equality.
Yeah, it's the same fucking thing. It's just old people being like, it's not the same as it is. Yeah. They're just yelling at a
Diana
fucking...
Diana Taurasi is just like, wait till she gets the WNBA. We're going to give her the business. I'm like, she'll probably cross you up.
Diana Taurasi is 41 years old. She's not doing
her
shit.
Her knees are going to explode. Yeah.
But The hype around this, I think, is building an infrastructure that is going to become untenable.
I agree.
Forward. It's like you're. I know ESPN has bought women's basketball.
They've already invested, right? So like they were
for the
ready
next 10 years.
So they'll. Yeah. So they. But.
But before Caitlin Clark, right? Like they were. They already had this. This wasn't reactionary.
No. This part wasn't reactionary, but. Iowa's basketball team that's going to fucking draft her, or Indiana's basketball team that's going to draft her, they're going to fucking sell out every game in the first season, and then it's going to fucking tail off like it always does, right? Because there's just not enough. Nobody's going to go watch one person. Like, the Bulls weren't selling out until, what, Jordan's third year or something like that. Then he started selling out because he's just so exciting on his own. But she's not going to be able to do that. On that shitty Indiana team, this isn't like the fucking. She's not dominant enough, and we see it right here. Like the WNBA is different; it's the best players, just like the NBA, right? Like the super teams, there's like three super teams in the WNBA.
I think Vegas is
Vegas, and then even Phoenix's team is really good.
Phoenix
when they're
has
all
my,
healthy.
Phoenix
and
then, has my favorite.
Yeah, then one
WNBA
of
the player.
Who's that?
Sophie Cunningham. She went to Mizzou.
Oh,
and then one of the New York teams has got fucking everybody on it too, right?
Liberty.
Yeah. So she's gonna get fucking wrecked in the WNBA for years, probably.
We should go to a game. Let's go to the Fever.
What I'm saying is they're gonna raise ticket prices, and then they're gonna start doing infrastructure work that is not necessary. ESPN's gonna try to broaden the women's tournament next year and make it more appealing to people, which they're trying to. It's their product, so they're trying to do that, but it's not going to work
for college. You mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So
because this only works when you have superstars, and she is a once in a generation, maybe once in a lifetime player.
So I think she's going to be even better in the WNBA, and here's why: everybody's good. You can't put bodies on her over and over and over again without her exploiting it, and then them just running them out of the building.
You also got to stay. If you go to college you can't enter the WNBA draft till you're what, 22?
Mm.
So like
junior year, yeah.
No, 22.
Yeah.
Like you have to be 22 years old before you enter the draft. So like a Juju Watkins who's 18 years old, she's already got hype behind her. She moves better than anybody in college, like women's basketball in general. She's going to be a star for like another year or two, and they'll just keep building new stars.
And
the girls are going to get better. Yeah, it's kind of like women's MMA, right? At first, it kind of sucked, and that's why Ronda Rousey was dominated.
It still sucks. What are you talking about? There's like three good fighters.
But I'm saying the girls are going to get better.
They're going to get better, but is there anybody exciting? The difference for me, this is just me personally with Caitlin Clark, is she was Steph Curry. She was shooting from the logo.
That's
who's the next person that can do
that?
The
woman he just mentioned moves like a man.
She does, but she can't shoot that far. So
we'll see, right?
Matter. She can like do different stuff. Crazy athletic shit.
But yeah, I mean, crazy athletic shit that don't end in thunderous dunks only goes so far.
Or 80-foot three-pointers.
Roll layup.
No.
Yeah. So I mean, that's not gonna, because even Paige Beckers, because I watched the game on Friday nights.
She's cool.
She's cool. But she's not bombing away. That's not somebody you're putting the
league. Yeah, but I mean, the modern game is like all these kids in middle school and high school, they grow up watching Steph Curry. They watch like a Trae Young.
Steph Curry would have been like the most popular player by a mile if he had existed when I was in like sixth grade. Everyone, because I'm friends with a bunch of little white kids, right?
Yep.
We all wanted to shoot threes already.
Yeah.
I think the game is adapting to the point where these kids coming up now are going to bomb threes.
I don't think it is, and here's why.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Just me coaching kids right now. All of them want to shoot fucking three-pointers all goddamn game. None of them can make it. None of them.
Because they're eight.
They're 10 years old.
Nobody can fucking hit threes at 10.
10 years old.
You hit your stride in basketball when you're like 12, 13. Maybe.
But I watched a kid. There was one kid on my team who was really fucking good, right? And he would hit about 3 out of 10 for the game.
30% is not bad for a 10-year-old.
It's okay, but the rest of the kids now want to be him, and that's the issue. So, like, you got these kids just bombing away, and they're not good enough. And I think that's what we're seeing in college basketball. For men's, who's in men's college basketball, who's doing it like Steph Curry did it?
No one's even close.
No.
No, I mean Steph Curry was. We just had the, most electric Asian player in college basketball history.
Yeah, because he's like
Zach Edey.
Because he's
the kid in Nebraska that was he was firing up threes. He was like Lynn Sanity for the Midwest.
Well, we don't even know his name
because we didn't pay attention to the Big Ten much.
Or Nebraska basketball.
Or just college
ever.
Basketball in general. But he was, if you were like deep into college basketball or deep into like, you know, Big Ten basketball, you saw this kid light it up for the last 3 or 4 years.
But Caitlin Clark made us care, and that's the difference, and we all know her name. Steph Curry went to Davidson.
Because
he made us care.
Because it's ESPN, right? Like they bought women's rights. So college basketball is mostly Fox. So they're not going to push that, obviously, for men's. Or like the tournament right now, CBS or TNT or TBS. So you'll see on the ESPN main page, you have to like search for it. It's always women's basketball is always the first thing that would pop up. It would not be like UConn or like that would be the second title or the third headline. It's whatever they put money behind is what's going to pop off.
Well, on ESPN's properties, yeah, but they don't control the sports space anywhere close to how they used to. As a matter of fact, they're tanking. That's why they did all this stuff. That's why they took out a massive amount of fucking debt to go buy UFC partnerships and shit like that.
Yeah, they're trying to get out of the UFC deal, though.
Well, yeah, they're for sale. Like ESPN is for sale right now.
But they did the same thing. They bought into UFC. They bought into gambling.
They bought in the NBA, and they got fucked because all the players would sit out when they had primetime games, and ESPN had like no legal repercussion for that.
Yeah, well, they've made like some bad investments, to be honest. And I don't know, like this women's one again, that's when I say they're going to
build.
Probably
got it for pennies on a dollar, honestly.
Right? But once they start reinvesting the profits from this year into it, the 12.3 from the Final Four game and whatever this one was, it's probably less. It's probably like 10 for this one, something like that.
Also,
those are still great numbers, right?
Wouldn't Caitlin Clark make more money at Iowa? Why doesn't she come back?
Great question.
All these girls are going to dunk on her or like be a bitch to her in WNBA, like witty.
Well, I think she kind of likes
think
that.
They will.
I think she. Yeah, I think she's kind of a dog, to be honest.
Like, I think she again, once in a lifetime player. Yeah. Like we'll flip it because this South Carolina team that won. I watched the entire game. And I watched the entire game on Friday night as well. There was nothing exciting about a girl who is 6'10", cherry picking layups and then just dropping it back in.
I can't listen to that take from someone who just blew Zach Edey for 20 minutes.
You know, I was kidding. You know, I'm kidding about
know,
Zach
know,
Edey. Okay, because the Zach Edey thing's a bit. I don't give a shit what happens. To
but
Zach
did you
Edey.
See? Did you?
And
watch?
I've got him losing by 30.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you watch? Did you watch?
But in all sincerity, watching that woman play at 6'10", it was boring. Same with watching Zach Edey, and I get why everybody hates Zach Edey because it's boring. Wemby's a whole different story because he's bombing threes, and I mean it's
also doing insane shit.
Like, right.
Things that don't even make sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas Zach Edey will never be able to do that in a million years.
No.
So in the girls' game, I just don't know who that is who's going to transform it unless you get somebody who can dunk or somebody who can shoot three-pointers from 50 feet away.
What ESPN will try to do is, not ESPN, but what women's college basketball will try to do is try to pump up players, but it's just not going to work. People see through that bullshit pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But it's all about narrative, right? Like South Carolina had a revenge tour story.
Right.
Is Caitlin Clark the best player of all time? Well, maybe only if she wins a title or whatever the fuck, right? That whole conversation, it's all nonsense, obviously. She's the best women's college basketball player ever, clearly. What she did on a team that has nobody else.
No.
And she broke every fucking record. Shut the fuck up,
dude.
But all the women that were talking about it on ESPN this morning, they were wearing these shirts, and it said, people watch women's sports. Like, no, they don't.
This year.
But not next year.
No, not
they'll watch year. Women's tennis next year, but they're not watching. Look, the viewership for the U.S. women's national team has fucking plummeted. And
for
they
soccer,
suck, right?
But
yeah,
you,
for soccer,
I think
you
have a much better chance to watch women's sports when it comes to colleges over a professional team because you don't really care what you're cheering for. Like, if it was a dodgeball game, I'd be cheering for UCF.
Right.
I just want somebody to wear my school's like shirt or jersey, and I'll cheer for that. It doesn't matter who shows up. It doesn't matter what the level of talent is. I will always pull for my school, and I think that's the advantage of college sports where, like, yeah, who do you watch the women's, you know, soccer league that's professional? No.
No. No.
Yeah,
do you NWSL, watch? You have no emotional investment in the Indiana Fever.
No.
Exactly.
Like, it's not a part. Maybe it's a part of some kid's childhood now. Right, but I'm an adult. I don't have the fucking bandwidth. I can't fall in love with a new sports team at this point.
What if it was the Indiana Jungle Fever?
Well, then that's a different story. But for me,
that would just be confusing.
For me personally, though, I'll tell you this: the first night she plays for the Indiana Fever, I will watch it. And if she ends up scoring 40 to 50 points a game, I think that'll get more people to watch just her.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you get the rest of the league or, like they, or excitement happened, around the rest.
That
of
happened
it.
With Jordan. He had a like his first couple years, they were exciting but not great. Mm-hmm. And then he started scoring 38 points a game.
And then we were all
but
in.
But they never won. They never won, right? And he was still like the TV watching was still dominated by Pistons fans, Celtics fans, and Lakers fans until he finally won. In 1991, right?
And then it all switched.
Then it switched.
And people even cooled on LeBron for a little bit, right? Mm. There was all the hype when he was a rookie and the magazine covers and all that shit. And, like, yeah, everyone wanted to watch his first couple games. But the team sucked ass. Mm. And he was great. Certainly the highlights were there. But, like, you can catch the highlights in SportsCenter, baby. Yeah.
He's punking young Dan at camp. Yeah. It's, you know, he's just doing all the wrong things.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I think there's so little talent in the WNBA. And I mean dispersed across the league because there's not that many great women's basketball players, and there's three super teams, right? So they're going to win games. They'll be a playoff team every year just because of her.
Yeah.
So it'll be almost exactly like LeBron.
She's going to
drag this shitty-ass team into the playoffs and then get beat in the first round.
And the better teams, they do okay with attendance. I think Vegas does about like 10,000 to 12,000 a game.
You can do anything in Vegas and people will come
well,
watch.
Well, and same with basketball New York in Indiana.
Well, yeah.
Just basketball in the state of Indiana. Everybody will show up for Indiana State. Everybody was there for the NIT, rocked the shit out of that goddamn thing.
49 other states, it's just basketball.
Right. But it's real. Like when I watched,
I fucking hate that.
When I flipped on that game with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar the other night, I was stunned at how many fucking people cared about an NIT game, for Christ's sakes. I didn't even know Ohio State was in it.
I didn't even realize that they played that game not at Madison Square Garden either.
Oh, yeah, they used to, but I guess they don't anymore.
It's in Albany.
No, the NIT for Indiana State, it was closer to Indiana.
Yeah. Because it was sold out. The place was rocking. Yeah. You were like, okay, cool. So I think she'll do well there. I think she'll do great in the WNBA. It's just this next crop, and this will go back to what you were saying about money and finances. Now they're going to pour money into college basketball for women, and there's going to be a gap of superstars that people actually tune in and care about.
Forget the superstars. Here's all I care about, because I weirdly, just because I like tennis, I probably watch more women's sports than almost anyone you know, just by virtue of liking tennis.
Women's tennis is great, though.
Yeah, it is. But, man, every time I see this shit, I'm just like, you're not going to keep watching. To all these, like, smug, like, I basically like liberal and women who just like women
just doing their victory dance.
You didn't watch before. You're not going to continue to watch. So just shut the fuck up. Like, keep watching. It's like that Bill Burr bit. He's like, why do I have to watch the WNBA? It's for women. Like, women should be.
They never support their own.
No.
And I mean, look at it right now. Caitlin Clark's getting just trashed by her fellow peer.
For no reason whatsoever. I mean, it's. But like, sorry for elevating the sport to the highest it's ever been.
They're all jealous bitches.
If it's crazy.
If it fails, it's not misogyny. It's not the patriarchy. It's because you didn't fucking watch.
Yeah.
It's not my fucking job. God damn it.
Also, listen, I bet on the Cactus Tour during COVID because it was the only thing to gamble on. So maybe hold your take that you watch the most college sport or women's sports here.
What is the Cactus Tour? I'm sorry.
It's like minor league golf.
Oh, that's fun. I thought it was minor league baseball.
And I will say, like, as far as supporting your college no matter what goes, Mizzou softball is a top 15 team right now. If they make the Women's College World Series, it's right up in Oklahoma. I might fucking go to
it. And if they put money behind sports like volleyball, I think, obviously.
Now, volleyball's a different story.
I would prefer to watch women play volleyball than men.
Same.
Yes.
Have you seen how hot they are?
Yeah, I can't
you
watch.
You can market that.
I can't. It's, despite that, which is a fair point, I can't watch men's volleyball because it's too violent. Like, the ball's moving too fast. I can't figure out what the fuck's going on.
And it also, there's not a lot of volleying. It's bump, set, spike, done.
It's bump, set, spike. Every single time. It's like, all right, cool, man. This is like, I would rather watch, like, men's water polo. I like watching that. Yeah. That's actually pretty fucking entertaining to watch. Men's volleyball is stupid. Women's volleyball, even if they were doing what we just said, there'd still be asses and titties in there, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, that helps.
It literally does. Everything. It's an entertainment product.
That's why nobody will ever watch the WNBA because none of them are hot.
Certain sports can translate, though. Like, I think women's golf can kind of pop off a little bit.
Every now and again, right?
They have Nelly Korda, who just won her fourth straight tournament on the LPGA, and she's like a hot blonde.
Okay.
So
but it isn't always, that'll move the needle.
It isn't always hot, either. Sometimes, like, I mean, not that Sorstian wasn't as somewhat attractive-looking human being, but she was great at playing golf.
She was great, right? And the probably
like, I would
the best
watch that
ever,
all fucking day.
But she wasn't as easy on the eyes. You put somebody hot in there, you're good to go.
I'm telling you, I don't understand why picnic sports are having a moment right now. Mm. Baseball, golf, shit,
pickleball.
Pickleball.
I mean, yeah, new picnic sports are coming out of nowhere.
I know. And dude, I'm telling you, like, they need to go in on softball because that, A, you don't have any men to compare it
for
to.
For dudes? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, so women's.
Women's softball. Oh, okay. Like, if you want a women's sport to really pop off, I think volleyball and softball.
And do it the way that that England especially does the women's soccer teams, which is, it's the Arsenal Gunners, women's, right? It's like another, it's the same kit. Everything is the same. Put them in a fucking Braves uniform right down the street in Buckhead somewhere and have them play, I don't know, like 80 games a year. Yeah. I would fucking watch that shit because they hit fucking bombs, dude.
It is, and there's no, it's fun. It's like arcade baseball, basically. Yeah. It's just like a
backyard baseball video game is kind of what it reminds me of.
It's great to watch. I really genuinely enjoy watching it.
And think
it.
About how the streaming wars are going, where like nobody really wants to put money behind, you know, original production. So they're like, yeah, more sports.
Yeah.
Just here,
I don't see why they haven't
gamble
done
on it.
Yeah.
People will do it.
And there's the country's becoming a casino.
And the difference with, I'm not even fucking kidding right now. The difference between women's softball and basketball is most years women's softball have superstars. Almost every year, there's some pitcher who strikes out everybody, or there's some fucking linebacker looking chick who hits bombed or something like that. Women's college basketball is not always like that. There are years when it's just like, eh. Like this year in men's basketball, it's like, eh.
Right.
Who's like there? The people that we're talking about, we're making fun of them mostly. Like Zach Edey, some kind of mongoloid or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
And by the way, like softball, I know has the stereotype of like linebacker chicks or whatever, but there's actually like a lot
usually
of
a hot it's usually
players.
The SEC teams.
Or just like,
the SEC teams are filled with
smoke show girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's honestly. And again, if you're no one watching this regularly would be offended by this, but like in general, like it's a fucking entertainment product. Every sport, male or female, would do well if more players were attractive in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, women would want to watch basketball more if it was... I remember one time I had a tennis match on, and I don't know why my wife is attracted to Andy Murray, but she walked in and sat down and watched for 20 minutes because she thought Andy Murray was hot.
Because she's looking for the dong slapping around his legs.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, if he was playing in gray sweatpants, she would never stop watching.
And he's got that British accent.
And Nadal. Yeah. Every woman would stop and watch Nadal, Ronaldo. Yeah, exactly.
You know, a better
Ronaldo in soccer.
Soccer is a better example because Ronaldo is an outlier. He's like 6'1" or whatever. But most of those dudes are like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah,
and they're still slinging dick all over the fucking world.
Global
wiener.
But
slingers.
Nobody like Ronaldo. I mean, Jesus. Christ.
He's just too fake looking for. That's what I hear from chicks.
They got cardio.
Like he's got like fucking what do you call it? Botox and shit.
Injections.
Well, now, but you know, he didn't have to back.
Well,
in
when
the day.
He was 19, he looked like shit.
You grow into it.
Yeah,
well, I think I think Alcaraz will eventually grow into that
Tom,
face.
Tom Brady did. Remember Tom Brady's draft photo?
Oh yeah,
he's got a fucking widow's peak, and he's got like a furlough.
You have no excuse to be ugly when you're rich.
You sure don't.
Exactly, but that's the thing, though, and a lot of the especially non-American athletes, they don't grow up middle class.
Yeah,
like,
that's
they,
true. Yeah,
they
yeah.
grow up kind of like if you can go Google, I think. Ronaldo's home, and you're like, how is that Portugal?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a line like where you use money to get hot again and don't go into the uncanny valley, I guess. Right? Where you start to look like a fucking cartoon character.
But I think that's why everybody was rooting for Iowa last night. Like looking at the girls on USC, you're like
Yeah, that Gabby Marshall Douglas, I forget her name.
Gabby Marshall, Iowa.
She's cute.
That's what I'm saying. Like the whole team, you were like, all right. And then you look across the court and you're like, oh boy.
Didn't Miami have like twins?
Yeah.
They were kind of cute.
No, they were cat fucking smokes.
Cavender.
They were one of the original Cavender, like NIL just bank breakers.
Yeah.
You know who the highest one is?
And Florida had one too, right? This year, I think.
I think
you. No. Do you know the highest one in women's sports is?
Oh, the gymnast, right?
Yeah, from LSU.
Libby Dunn?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Libby Dunn. I mean, it's
fucking insane.
That's the highest paid female NIL athlete there is in college. And it's not like we're showing up watching gymnastics.
She going to the Olympics or nah?
No. If you're even in college, that's a horrible sign that you're.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You don't usually get to do that there, unfortunately. We'll move on to this Calipari shit real quick because a guy just transferred here. Aaron Bradshaw, first in the transfer portal for Kentucky. Does he end up taking most of these guys then from Kentucky?
He'll take a few.
I mean, there's a bunch that are going to the draft, but So I mean, Kentucky, I think, is all the Kentucky fans are done with Calipari at this point. They're like, yeah. Whatever you brought in, just take it with
you. Just take it all. Yeah, it's a bad breakup.
Because he was ranked number six coming out of high school here. Does he shift on over? And then who coaches them, by the way?
Who are they going to get?
Yeah, who coaches Kentucky now?
I've heard already they're trying to get Hurley from UConn. I mean, they're going to go after names.
Yeah.
They're not going to.
It's the biggest program in college basketball. Yeah.
If you're Hurley, though, in all sincerity, why leave? You got a great thing going there.
You shouldn't. Kentucky's they're rightfully delusional. You know what I mean? Like they're the best blue blood probably. But like, yeah, Hurley's in a perfect spot. You don't need to leave there. It's not college football where you realistically can only win a championship at like 10 schools, barring like an absolute miracle. Mm-hmm. So
you think they go after like a Shaka?
Oh God, Shaka would be insane to go to Kentucky. Here's what they should do. Just bring back Patino.
Well,
he's too old.
He's 73, I think.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah.
You need to kind of move on to the future.
Yeah.
Because it's strange. Like, if I'm Hurley, you're doing better than Kentucky has the last 25 years. So why fucking leave? Like, nobody cares, and you don't have to do media. It's not a big press city. Like, you can just hide in UConn and then just win and dominate every single year. Pretty goddamn good gig.
Do they bring in like a Nate Oates?
No, Nate just signed an extension, a massive extension.
And Nate would also be insane to leave for Kentucky. Mm.
Right after Calipari lost in the first round, they gave Nate Oates that extension.
Okay.
I think they knew.
They're going to have to drop the bag.
They're going to have to spend some money for sure. Because like everybody who's left somewhere over the past month or so since the tournament started has ended up somewhere else already, right? Musselman's already at USC.
Yep.
Enfield, who left USC, is at SMU already.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't know who's even available.
They're
going to attack. Old dudes.
Jay Wright is the only one
they're
left.
They're probably going to throw money at Wright. It wouldn't surprise me if they even gave like Bill fucking Self a call. Like,
I think they should call Steve Kerr, and I'm not even kidding. I think that Warriors shit is over, and I think Steve Kerr needs a new challenge in his life, and he is a great coach. And he would, me personally, I think he would even be a better coach in college. Because of the way he communicates with people.
And the way he's able to get a team to play together. Yeah. The only problem there is they just signed him to another extension as well.
Yeah, so. That to me is insane. Like, break that fucking shit up. What are they doing there?
How's the Calipari thing working? Because do they no longer have to pay that, I guess?
I'm sure there's a buyout.
Is Arkansas paying the buyout? So
maybe, because the reason he went over to Arkansas is because he's boys with that billionaire fucking
Tyson.
Yeah.
Now, is the buyout his soul? I don't know how a lifetime contract.
Yeah, how does a lifetime contract?
I don't know if Calipari has a soul.
No. That was the trick played.
Yeah.
This is like, what's that fucking Keanu Reeves Al Pacino movie?
Oh yeah, where the
Devil's Advocate. Yeah, he sold his soul.
Yeah, he got one, I guess.
Yeah, well, one in 15 years is not that good, to be honest.
At Kentucky.
Do you think Aaron Boone's a good coach?
Did he get one?
He hasn't gotten any, but he's made the playoffs a lot.
Yeah.
With the Yankees, with great teams in the Yankees.
Look at it this way. He's tied with Tubby Smith.
Now,
yeah,
do they bring a Kelvin Sampson?
They're probably going to call him, too.
I want to talk to Sampson.
Yeah.
But I don't know why Sampson would leave. He has everything he needs.
He's got everything in Houston, and he's beloved there. Why leave?
There's no great coach on
it. Already in a good situation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, money.
I get that.
Money.
I get it.
Sean Miller is out there. I don't know.
I don't think Kentucky's bringing.
Bring over what's his nuts? Penny Hardaway from Memphis. Isn't that where he is?
He's terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
He's the worst coach in fucking college basketball.
Honestly, what I could see happening, because maybe there's a little bit of vanity with this guy, and although he is Chris Beard. Beard would sell Ole Miss right down the river to go to a huge program completely, basically, I guess, reconcile by winning.
Kinda. Bring back a Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan's another one. Absolutely.
Where is he at, by the way?
With the Bulls, right?
He's in the NBA, yeah.
Oh, is he really?
Mm-hmm.
That's strange.
And it's not working.
No. And it typically doesn't there. So, it might be a name to consider. We'll see. We'll see here.
Oh, actually, I don't even think he is a coach now.
No, I don't think he is
either. Yeah, Billy Donovan is unemployed, I think. But I'll double check.
He got fired by the Bulls?
It said former American basketball coach.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that well in the NBA. We'll switch on over to baseball here. Why is everybody getting Tommy John surgery? Why are all the superstars out?
I mean, honestly, they're throwing less innings, right? Let's just get the nose off the table first.
Is the clock? Because the clock was brought up over the weekend, in particular with Strider.
There are more injuries since the clock started for starting pitchers. Yes,
seems like a scapegoat though.
But there's also more velocity. I think dudes are throwing. One, they've changed. Like you can see it on Instagram. All these camps that teach you how to throw harder, mm-hmm. and a guy will go from he'll go from like 87 average fastball to like 94 average fastball in the course of 2 or 3 weeks. And I think your body needs time to build up to that shit.
Yeah.
And there's also probably a cap on how hard you should be throwing. So they go in and they change your mechanics, right? So you can get the maximum amount of velocity out of your arm. And is that the best thing for you? Probably not, right? And then they're doing all these off-season workouts to improve velocity as well. Like, so Spencer Strider has spent the past 2 months before the season started learning how to throw a curveball. Maybe your arm needs a little rest, but since you're throwing 100 fucking miles per hour all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that anybody's even looking into that, to be honest. It feels a lot like concussions in the NFL where people are aware that it's happening and nobody wants to fucking look into it because they know it's going to be bad when they find out what the answer is. That's what it feels like.
Hear me out. What if when you draft a guy that's going to be a starting pitcher in your organization for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
You just have him immediately go to Tommy John.
Get it out of the way.
Well, I mean, so Strider got one the year before he came to the Braves.
Oh, he did?
When he was on Clemson,
In 2019 in Clemson, yeah. So this will be, he's getting reevaluated now, but it sounds a lot like it's an ulnar collateral ligament. It's fucking going to be Tommy
John.
He
spent the first 2 years giving them Tommy John surgery, so they get him out of the way.
As many as they can get.
Now, after the first Tommy John surgery, people typically come back better.
That's what
second, only about 30% even see success in the MLB again, and there's never been anybody with a third.
Ah, man, Strider. Hate to see it.
Yeah.
Hate to see it. He's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he'll come back and pitch, but it's going to be a different guy.
Yep.
It's not going to be velocity.
He's going to be throwing in the mid-90s and not the high 90s.
It's going to be the Jamie Moyer of the Braves.
Yeah. I mean, Jamie Moyer didn't get hurt. And I was looking at Fangraphs the other night after the Strider injury, and it's just like, just remembering, like, one of the reasons the 90s Braves dominated for as long as they did is because, this is no bullshit, Maddux and Glavine did not go on the IL once for a decade.
Maddux never threw above 90.
Yeah.
So maybe there is something to it.
And Smoltz did get a Tommy John in, like, 99 or whatever, but that was the only one. I mean, it's
true. I don't think the human body's supposed to throw that fast and that hard.
Probably. And these dudes, honestly, I don't want to sound like an old man, but these dudes don't know how to pitch anymore for the most part.
Mechanically?
Yeah, I mean,
strategically.
Yeah, strategically. It's, I think with modern science, like you can patch somebody up and see what the UCL is doing as they're throwing the baseball and see if their mechanics are going to lead downstream to some kind of UCL problem. I feel like we should probably be able to do that at this point in human history, right?
Yeah.
But again, I don't think they want to know the answer. Because
no, they don't.
Trevor Bauer, who interestingly may get a job out of some of these fucking injuries, to be
on
honest.
The Braves?
I would love that, to be honest. But anyways, he was talking on Twitter about it, and people were making some of these points like, well, people are throwing harder than ever. Maybe they shouldn't be and stuff like that. He goes, yeah, but then you don't get that big signing bonus at the beginning of your career if you're not throwing 97, 98. That's how it works now. So
they do not trust results. If no matter basically what the results are, if velocity's not also there.
Yeah. It's very bizarre because baseball's never ever been like that before.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can name a couple of guys from each generation whose talent hinged around their velocity. Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, right? Aside from, and these, I'm talking about Hall of Fame level players.
Uh-huh.
Aside from those three guys, the other guys that pitched during that time, like Smoltz threw 95, 96, but his pitch was a slider. That was his best pitch.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to talk about Glavine or Maddux. Pedro fucking threw a two-seam fastball that was great and a changeup that was great. These Hall of Fame-level pitchers had three or four great pitches, right? And it wasn't always all about velocity. It doesn't need to be, clearly, because there's a fucking 100 years of baseball history where that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, it's all about velocity. It's like, in the NBA, things can change. People can shoot more threes, and nobody's going to get injured because of that.
But if the game
changes and people are fucking getting injured all the time because of it, you may want to look into that.
Who won the AL Cy Young last year?
It was Garrett Cole, I think. And he throws 97.
He throws heat.
He's hurt right now.
But Blake Snell, I was going to say, did both Cy Young winners? Because Snell's not like a velo guy necessarily.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, even you want to talk about guys from this past generation who are going to be Hall of Famers. Certainly Scherzer and Verlander were high-velocity guys.
But that, Scherzer that was wasn't, more like that wasn't Pedro. The key to their success, right?
Verlander early on, maybe because he was throwing 100, but not over the career. He no. had to change.
Like the first 6 years of his career, maybe. But that's for a lot of players.
But probably the best pitcher of the generation, even though he's still been hurt a bunch, in terms of just pure statistics, is Kershaw. And he's a curveball guy. Yeah. He has heat. He has a good fastball, but he doesn't have to live at never had to live at 97 and 99.
Well, here are the from the past years. So Garrett Cole and Blake Snell from last year. Snell is not a velocity guy. The year before that was Verlander, who at the time is definitely not a velocity guy.
No, not anymore, no.
Because he throws 94 now. And then Sandy Alcantara, who throws hard, but he's a two-seam fat. He doesn't strike out anybody, right? So it's not about velocity for him either. The year before that, Robbie Ray, who's not a velocity guy necessarily. No. And Corbin Burns, who throws hard, but he's
he throws heavy.
He throws a sinker. Yeah. He's a sinker ball, right? Now, he gets a lot of strikeouts, but he's not one of those guys either. But the year before that was Bieber and Bauer. They both throw hard.
COVID, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both throw hard. The year before that was Verlander and DeGrom again. Verlander, not a velocity guy. DeGrom, definitely a velocity guy. But look at where is he right now?
He's dead.
Yeah, he's
he
dead.
He didn't play any last year, and he's not playing right now.
And then I look at a guy like Steven Strasburg, who retired today at 35.
Who was a velocity guy.
That guy was a velocity guy, and he was – remember him on the cover of Sports Illustrated? He was going to be the fucking dude.
He had so much hype, yeah.
And then it's just so many injuries over the years with his arm that he finally was just like, dude, I can't do this anymore.
But if you go back to the times – the time periods where dudes were running 2-3 in a row or 4 in a career or something like that. The only one that was a super hard thrower was Roger Clemens. I don't think Randy Johnson put together – I know he put together great seasons after another, but I don't think he won three
Cy Youngs in a row. Yeah, he did. He won 4 in a row.
Right? He won 4 in a row?
Yeah.
What years?
Right after Maddox did it. 2000 it was maybe? It was when he was with the Diamondbacks. He won. Yeah, because I remember being
Randy
pissed.
Randy Johnson?
Yeah, I remember being pissed that someone tied Maddox.
Well, because I'm looking at – the middle 2010s, and you're looking at Lincecum, who fucked his arm up throwing hard.
Yeah,
right? He only had two pitches.
Yeah,
and Lincecum was also a little elf boy.
Yeah,
he was.
But Jake Peavy, CC Sabathia, Cliff Lee, Zach Greinke, Halliday, who was a curveball guy, Felix Hernandez, who was a curveball guy for the most part.
You know what you're naming is a lot of dudes who throw heavy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, guys who, and every single one of these dudes were putting up inning counts in the mid 200s.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, right. These are workhorse guys that throw heavy balls. But I know Brandon Webb was in there.
Kershaw's in there. Brandon Webb's in there. Fucking Johan Santana was in there before he fucked up his arm. Bartolo Colon won the Cy Young in 2005. He's not. He. I don't know what the fuck he was doing.
Was it Glasnow that was doing the video where he's saying guys are just gripping the ball harder?
Or Glasnow did say that. Yeah.
He said something like they're getting rid of the sticky substances. Yeah. And everyone's been using it their entire lives.
Well, I mean, put your fingers like this, like you're making a mistake, like you're holding a baseball, right? You can feel the UCL tighten up when you're doing that. So, makes sense.
So now if you can't use it, you have to grip the ball harder to throw your pitch.
Yep.
Bring back the stick, dude.
Yeah, by the way, there were more strikeouts during that period, which they should like because it speeds the goddamn game up, to be honest. But there were not – the league batting average didn't go down, and home runs went up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what the fuck? I don't understand the problem there.
Because I think it was funny, too, is when they have that much extra break or whatever, when they're relying on that, there's also a tendency to miss or to overspin it, in which case, home run time.
I want to go back to something. I forget who said this here, one of you guys, but it's that contract. If you're throwing that hard and get that massive contract, I mean, the numbers that Steven Strasburg made were fucking ungodly.
Yep.
Clayton Kershaw, all these other guys. I think there is something to that. And there was a old baseball player, a pitcher, early 2000s out in L.A. that I chatted with. And I said, what do you hope to get out of this? And he's like, well, other than a championship, I want to get a fucking massive contract. And same thing. He ended up throwing his arm out trying to – they just want that one deal.
Yeah. Mm.
And then that clears the career. Who deleted the show? Walker Buehler?
Yeah.
He got that fucking massive contract and – arm injury, and it's like, well, if he comes back, great. If he doesn't,
he'll
who
be
gives
back.
A shit?
He'll
he's,
be back.
He's richer than Jesus.
He'll be back sometime this year, probably.
Lucky for him, he's never a velo guy, though.
But even if he doesn't, you're richer than Jesus at that point. So it's like, all right, if you're a batter, do you take the steroids to get the big contract? If you're a pitcher, do you throw as hard as you can to get the big contract? I don't know what the right answer is.
I mean, Strider signed a 6-year, $75 million contract before this season. And now he's not going to play for at least...
18 months.
Two of those years, probably, depending on what his recovery is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
risk you take.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? But I'm with you. I think if they start looking into this, that's when shit gets bad, and they don't want to tell you what it is either way.
And then pitchers become the running backs of baseball.
We sure do.
Well, maybe, or they just like, if you're a pitcher, you adjust. Why wouldn't you?
Well, they're like, already going later into the contract period. Take Snell, for example. They're less willing to give these guys deals until later on down the road. So maybe it does become like the running back thing eventually. Who knows?
I mean, the only guy that threw hard like that in the non-steroid era that didn't have arm problems was Nolan Ryan that I can think of.
Bob Gibson. Walter
Johnson had some arm problems back in the day. He was allegedly the hardest thrower back then. They tried to measure it by driving a motorcycle next to him or some shit. You remember that?
Babe Ruth.
Sandy Koufax only pitched 10 years, right? Because he just threw the fuck out of the ball every time. And God bless, because he's a Hall of Famer, right? Great, great dude. But yeah, I guess you could say Gibson, but Gibson had a kind of a short career too, right? Didn't he only play 12 seasons?
I think he was black.
What does that got to do with anything?
And he didn't get to come into the league when he was
No, he didn't. Right? He came in at 22, I think.
Yeah, he played in the 60s and 70s.
23. He was 23. Oh, he played 17 years. It's not bad. Yeah, so he more or less one season.
There's only a handful of guys.
Yep.
Two. Seaver.
Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver.
Yep.
It's the only one of the ones I could name.
Yeah, that threw gas, right?
Yeah. But it's interesting, man. So we'll see. If you lose some of your favorite pitchers this year, you'll know why.
That was Bob Feller with the motorcycle thing. That's right. Yeah, so Bob Feller threw gas, too.
Yeah, sure did. But he had to go to war.
That was the 30s.
But he also got to go to war.
He did, yeah.
So did,
and then
so
he
did,
had to come back.
So did Walter Johnson. He went to World War II, didn't he?
Yeah.
Johnson was World War I, I think.
Maybe he did go to World War I.
Yeah.
But Feller left in his fucking prime, dude. And then he had to come back.
Well, Ted Williams left in his prime twice.
Yep.
Because he went to Korea as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Walter Johnson
bombed all the children.
Yeah, that would have been World War One. Damn, dude, fucking sucks.
His body count was incredible. By the way,
Williams
he would
so
actually he would kill five people with a grenade before even pulling the pin.
Yep, I mean it was nuts, dude. R.I.P. to that guy. I mean we'll bring him back to life because we have his head in a freezer. But looking.
Are we talking about Ted Williams?
Yeah.
Well, he was a pilot.
Yeah, killed so many people.
You know how many people he killed?
Hundreds,
nuts,
thousands.
Yeah, probably quite a few. Yeah, because he was definitely. A bomber, so. Yeah.
No, he was a fighter pilot. Ted Williams? Fighter pilot.
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart has stacked more bodies than any of us could dream of.
Did you just wedge that in so you could do the accent?
Well, we're waiting for it. There it is.
I still see him in my dreams.
It'll never not get old, and the audience has actually demanded it once a week, so there is message boards,
we gotta hit
by
our
the way, behind the scene. Ted Williams lost five full seasons in war. Jesus
and he still
Christ.
Hit, what, 511 home runs or 550 or something?
He would have been the greatest of all time.
What's annoying is all his combat was in Korea. He didn't do dick in World War II.
Yeah.
So like he kind of went to World War II for nothing. Like he was never made it to the front, really, but in Korea it's when he got...
521. Five more seasons, he would have hit at least 600 home runs.
And in November of 1952, Williams shot down four Soviet fighter jets.
Some fucking America.
Yeah, sure is. Dude.
He was averaging 37 home runs a year in the first three years that he missed.
Nobody found out about it for 50 years either.
Then he was
because he didn't say a fucking word.
Then he was averaging 30 a year in the other two that he missed. But he actually played 43 games in those two seasons. So
where's that fucking biopic?
I know.
Who would play him?
Probably
Chalamet.
Probably Chalamet or...
I don't know. Ted Williams had a pretty specific look. He was a big dude.
Yeah. I think might have to get a black trans, though, too. So, don't rule that out.
He was 6'3", 205. He was a big guy.
Yeah.
6'3". Who's out there that could do that?
Hemsworth?
He didn't grow up playing... You would need somebody that grew up playing baseball.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, you can fake a lot of that shit. Like, Jimmy Stewart hit right hand... Or not Jimmy... Yeah, was it Jimmy Stewart? Who hit right-handed for... He played Lou Gehrig, right?
The luckiest man on earth or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He hit right-handed, but they filmed it in reverse.
Okay.
And he ran to third base instead of first, right?
Yep.
Because they wanted a real-looking swing. You would need a left-handed person.
I'll have Vince Vaughn play.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a new guy, right? A new actor, probably.
Yeah, if you can
find
one.
You can't have like a Tim Robbins and Bull Durham situation throwing a baseball.
He looks like a girl throwing the ball.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah. That was my only gripe about that movie. Thanks for tuning in, kids. We're about to catch the eclipse. I'm sure you guys are too. We're going to be eclipsing all over each other here in roughly 30 minutes and then come back to Patreon where we'll be live for Drinking Bros Fake News after that. Joel, you ready for this? This is the moment, dude. You were born for this.
Hey, I looked it up.
Do you have the glasses?
Yeah, they're right here. Okay, I looked it up on Reddit. Miles Teller should play Ted Williams in a movie.
Ah, oh, that'd be a good one.
He's 6 foot. He's about my height. Yeah. He's big enough for that.
He's big enough.
Yeah.
For sure.
Compared to everybody in Hollywood, that's 6'3". So.
And he's a great actor.
Yeah, he's a very good actor, yeah. So. And he's an athlete, too. He played football in high school. I don't know if he played he probably did play baseball.
He's going to be able to get rid of his Philly accent.
He did play a baseball player.
He's got a Philly accent like McConaughey's got a Texas accent.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
He played football in Top Gun. Looked pretty good.
He was a baseball player in Project X.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's right.
Yeah. I feel like he's a good enough athlete that he can learn how to fucking hit left handed. Yeah, it's not that difficult.
He's gonna take BP basically. Yeah.
Did he play baseball in real life?
Probably.
I think he did.
Everyone played baseball.
I want to say some capacity.
Right? He has at least played baseball for like organized for like 7 years of his life.
Yeah, he played baseball competitively and dreamed of turning professional.
According to
his Wikipedia page.
Reddit never gets it wrong.
Let's fucking make this shit happen, dude.
Yeah,
and he's kind of got a baby face enough that he can, because he's 37 now, he could go back and play the 20s.
Yeah, he's 37 now.
Yeah.
Shit, he doesn't look it.
No, he doesn't at all. All those blackout retreats in ayahuasca, I think, is doing it for him.
Well, that happens.
When you share a woman with Aaron Rodgers, his essence actually goes through her. Like when you're spit roasting Shailene Woodley.
Yeah.
His essence goes through Shailene's body and into him.
You got to be careful about your Achilles after that, though.
You do, yeah.
You do.
Just don't take any sudden moves.
Or just run out of a tunnel with an American flag on 9/11. Just don't do it, all right? Put the flag down. Go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away at that point. Bet Withers are against us on MyBookie.com tonight. We have not lost on UConn, though, the entire tournament. They've covered
every
single fucking game in the tournament for the last 2 years. They will cover tonight, I can promise you that. For D'Anthony, D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.